Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Royal London Half Year Results 2022 conference call. My name is Renny, and I'm your event manager for today. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your telephone, and the coordinator will be happy to assist you. I'd like to advise all parties that this conference is being recorded for replay purposes. And now, I'd like to hand the call over to Daniel Tazo. Please go ahead.
Morning, thank you, and thank you everybody for joining us. For those of you I haven't spoken to before, my name is Daniel Cazzo, and I'm the Group Chief Financial Officer for Royal London. I'm joined today by Leslie Mitchell, Group Financial Controller, Anthony Lee, Group Chief Actuary, and Rob Ferguson, Group Treasurer. This morning we issued our 2022 interim results announcement, and during this call I'll be referring to the presentation we emailed to those of you who pre-registered for this event. Presentation and a copy of our results announcement are available on our website. So moving to the first page, I'll outline the agenda for this morning's call. I'll start by taking you through an overview of the performance of our business during the first half of 2022, before going through the key financial metrics, new business performance, assets under management, and the strength of our balance sheet and capital position. I'll then open up to questions. Before we get into the detail, I'd like to provide some context and highlight the key points from today's announcement. So moving to page three, during the first half of the year, we have seen turbulent market conditions across the world. The geopolitical and economic uncertainty has led to compressed fixed income prices, increased volatility of equity valuations, and ongoing pressure on household disposable income. Against this backdrop, the strength of our brand, depth of our financial advisor relationships, and the long-term performance of our investment propositions continues to serve us well. And this has supported the growth in our pensions business in the first half of the year. While absolute fund values have been impacted by market declines, all of our core pension propositions continue to outperform their benchmarks over 3 years. As a result, new business sales increased 19% during the first 6 months, with all three of our business units performing well and helping to deliver a 36% increase in group operating profit. At the same time, we have continued to invest in our business, delivering new propositions, enhancing existing products, whilst also improving our technology capabilities. Our capital position remains robust. Our investor view capital cover ratio increased to 227%, and our regulatory view capital cover ratio was up to 202%. I will explain these increases shortly. Turning now to page four and looking at some of the key highlights from each of our businesses. Starting in the UK, we saw strong flows into both workplace and individual pensions, with new business sales up 19% overall. As a result of our active investment management approach, our governed range, which is the flagship default solution for many of our workplace pension customers, has performed well and continued to attract net inflows. Its assets under management were stable at £51 billion, again reflecting the falling investment markets. We have continued to improve our digital offering through the launch of our new financial wellbeing tool to workplace schemes through Wealth Wizards. It is a free service which helps to educate and develop our customers' understanding of what their financial future may look like. And with the introduction of a new advisor dashboard, protection advisors now have full online visibility and management of their new business cases. Through our legacy simplification program, we migrated a further 1 million long-standing customers onto new technology, taking the total number of policies now benefiting from an enhanced servicing experience to 4.1 million since 2020. We continue to simplify the structure of Royal London, and this will lead to operational benefits as well as increased certainty of benefits for with-profits policyholders in the closed funds. Following the merger of four closed with-profits funds into the Royal London main fund last year, we remain on track to merge a further two funds in the second half of this year. In asset management, external net inflows were £1.5 billion compared to a £1 million outflow over the same period in 2021. We have benefited from our increasingly diversified investment capabilities, with positive net inflows from institutional clients and global equities, which is one of our newer strategies. And we attracted good flows into our more established areas of strength, such as sterling credit and sustainable funds, as an increasing number of people look to invest responsibly. Despite these flows, as a result of the falls in equity and fixed income markets, assets under management reduced by 9% to £150 billion. We have continued to champion a just transition to net zero through active engagement with some of the largest contributors to our carbon footprint, using our position and AGM votes to influence corporate behaviour. As we set out at the 2021 year end, we have commenced a significant investment in RLAM's core technology and systems to improve the efficiency and quality of our servicing capabilities. In Ireland, the business continued to perform well, maintaining the positive new business sales momentum it delivered over the same period during 2021, delivering £88 million in protection sales. We introduced a new brand name, Royal London Ireland, to strengthen our profile and visibility in the Irish market as we focus on capitalising on our heritage and established broker relationships. We continue to enhance our existing protection products and remain on track to launch into the individual pensions market later this year. Moving on, page 5 sets out the key financial highlights from our business. I will talk through the new business sales, assets, flows and our balance sheet in more detail shortly. Despite the turbulent external conditions, group operating profit before tax has increased by 36% to £109 million, driven by new business growth and the management of our corporate costs. We have continued to take advantage of the portfolio of assets supporting our annuity business that we launched last year, and have transferred an existing block of deferred annuities into this portfolio, generating an £18 million benefit in the first half. We will continue to explore further opportunities with our in-force book. However, as a direct result of impact of investment market volatility compared to our long-term expected return assumptions, we are reporting a statutory loss before tax of £228 million. A full breakdown of the components of operating profit is set out in the announcement, with a summary in the appendix to this presentation. As I referenced previously, our capital position remains robust, with a surplus of £3 billion on both the regulatory view and investor view basis. Turning now to page 6 and new business sales. Life and pensions new business sales were up 19% at £5.5 billion, primarily driven by a 24% rise in individual and workplace pension sales. Focus on the UK, total new business sales were up 19% to £5.4 billion, and individual pensions new business sales increased to £2.7 billion, an increase of 15% over the same period in 2021. Sales have continued to recover as pandemic restrictions have been removed and face-to-face advisor appointments have resumed, with the strength of the relative investment performance of our govern range also a key factor. In workplace pensions, the continuing confidence in the employment market has driven an increase in new entrants to existing schemes. And as a result, workplace pensions new business grew strongly by 39% to £2 billion. Margins across our pensions business are stable, with a slight fall in workplace pensions more reflective of the mix of business, with a higher proportion of new schemes written during the first 6 months of this year compared to last. Sales of UK protection products were £569 million, as overall market demand reduced following the spike we experienced during the pandemic. The margin for UK protection decreased to 2.2% given the fall in volumes, and we are taking action to improve the efficiency of the business in the future. The annuity proposition we launched in 2021 to retain vesting pension policies with guaranteed annuity options has been well received and accounts for the majority of the remainder of the increase in new business sales in the UK. In Ireland, we continue to see strong demand for our protection products, with the momentum helping to deliver new business sales of £88 million. We have not seen the same market contraction post-COVID in Ireland as we've experienced in the UK, but as a result of the change in product mix, the new business margin for Irish protection business increased to 8.5% from 6.8%. I'd now like to turn to assets and flows on page 7. As I said earlier, market conditions over the first half of the year resulted in a fall in the value of assets under management. However, net inflows have improved significantly, and overall, assets under management reduced by 9% to £150 billion. Internal net inflows increased to £1.1 billion from £406 million in the first half of 2021, reflecting the increased demand for our pension products, while external net inflows increased to £1.5 billion, benefiting from the investment we have made to diversify our asset management capabilities. We have also continued to attract flows into our established areas of strength, including into our sustainable products as customers look to invest responsibly. Given market conditions, sustainable flows are at lower levels than we experienced in 2021. Moving on to page 8 and the balance sheet. Our investment portfolio reduced to £106.3 billion, reflecting the fair value impacts across equities, bonds and derivatives. Our financial investment portfolio remains well diversified across a number of financial instrument classes, with the majority invested in equities and fixed income assets. A significant portion of our debt securities portfolio is in high quality assets with a credit rating of A or above. In our non-linked portfolio, 82% of our debt securities and 70% of our corporate bonds had a credit rating of A or better. There have been no significant defaults in our corporate bond portfolio. On page 9, we provide more detail about our capital cover ratios. Managing our capital base effectively is a key priority for us. It is essential to our business to fund further growth, while also giving peace of mind to our customers that we can meet our commitments to them. Over the first half of 2022, we have seen large increases in yields and credit spreads. And as a result, the Solvency II Group Investor View capital cover ratio increased to 227%, compared to 216% at the year end. The Solvency II Group Regulatory View capital cover ratio increased to 202%, compared to 173% at the year end. Moving on to page 10 and looking at the capital position in a bit more detail, this graph shows the movement in the investor view of the group's solvency surplus over the past 6 months. As I mentioned earlier, the group's solvency surplus had increased from £2.8 billion to £3 billion by the end of June. The contribution from all of our existing businesses offsets the strain from writing new business, as well as supporting continued strategic investment and corporate costs during the year. The surplus generated from economic movements primarily reflects the large increases in credit spreads over the period. Management actions led to a small increase in the first half of the year, reflecting the continued growth of our matching adjustment annuity fund through the one-off transfer of an existing annuity portfolio in the first half, as I referenced earlier. Interest payments on our subordinated debt and profit share are made in the second half of the year, so there is no impact on capital in the first half from these items. On page 11, the waterfall chart shows a similar analysis of the group's regulatory view capital position. Economic movements, primarily the increase in yields, have led to a large increase in the regulatory ratio from 173% to 202%. The yield increases have in particular reduced capital requirements of the closed funds, particularly in relation to guaranteed annuity options. For our largest closed fund, our interest rate hedging strategy aims to stabilise solvency surplus within that ring-fenced fund. This protects the interest of the policyholders in the closed fund, whilst minimising burn-through risk to our open fund. This is an effective strategy, but does make the cover ratio on a regulatory view more susceptible to larger movements, as the closed fund SCR reduces when yields rise. Turning to page 12, and to summarise. The strength and performance of our investment offering ensures it continues to be well supported by financial advisors, attracting new flows into our pensions business. This has resulted in the group delivering strong growth in new business sales and significantly higher operating profit. We will continue to invest in the digital services we offer to members, customers and advisors to ensure we continue to meet their needs and enhance their experience when dealing with us. Supporting this, our mutual status, active cost management approach and robust balance sheet gives us the flexibility to focus on the long term and to fund growth across our chosen markets. While the trading environment remains challenging, our strategy of being an insight-led, modern mutual, growing sustainably by deepening customer relationships, continues to deliver for our stakeholders. Thank you for your time. We would be pleased to take any questions you may have. And I'll hand back over to Rennie, the call coordinator, to begin the Q&A session.
Certainly. So everyone, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your device. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star two. So once again, please press star, then one if you wish to ask a question. Thank you. And we have an incoming question from Jakub Litwa. Please go ahead. Your line is open now.
Hi there. Thanks for holding the call. One question is on the margins. You mentioned that you have taken some measure to improve them. I think S&P also flags that, you know, they are essentially, well, your margins around 2% for the pension business are supporting your ratings, but they've been on a downward trajectory, I don't know, not just, you know, year on year, but also vis-a-vis previous years. So can you give us some comfort around what actions you're taking with respect to that, please?
Yeah, morning, Dave. So let me take that in a few different elements, because there's quite a lot of things over the prior periods and now. So there's quite a significant shift in mix within elements of that. So if I take individual pensions as a starting point, you'll recall that as we went through COVID, we have invested quite significantly in some of our servicing capabilities and digital interaction with customers and advisors, and that had some impact on margin as we went through 2020 and 2021. A lot of the of that business, though, previously, and I'm going back several years now, included some DB transfer business, which has a rather different margin to the blend of the book that we're writing at the moment. So there is a mix element within that. From a workplace pensions perspective, the margin is impacted by the blend between new schemes and entrance to new schemes. So entrance to new schemes have a slightly higher margin than the new schemes. And if you go back over the last year or so, there's been quite a lot of variability of that, particularly during COVID. So from a core pensions perspective, I think actually on an underlying basis, taking aside some of the investment in servicing we did during COVID, our margins are relatively stable when you go to what the underlying products look like. As you know, we have been investing in pension technology, and that is continuing, and I would expect that as we continue to deliver that, our margins will improve, but that will take a period of time to come through. The area where I referenced the action we've been taking is primarily on protection, I don't particularly expect that to come through as an effect in 2022. I think it'll be further out than that. So volumes have come down. Our protection business is a lot of our protection business is underwritten, directly underwritten, and involves person-to-person interactions. So we don't do a lot of straight-through underwritten business. That's the nature of our model. There is a bit of a lag as volumes come down for us to adjust our cost base. We have been looking at the extent to which we can streamline some of that interaction, and I referenced earlier that we've launched a new dashboard for protection advisors. That is trying to push more of that engagement online, but I really must reinforce that the nature of our protection proposition is relatively, requires a relative degree of underwriting. That is the nature of the proposition we write, therefore our margins will reflect the human interaction that engages with that. So I hope that gives you a bit of a flavour.
Okay, thank you. And
sorry, did you have a follow-on?
So, well, rather not a follow-up, but a second question actually on the solvency. Obviously, ratios are a bit higher than they have been historically. I suppose, you know, the economic movement with regards to rates. Are you seeing through that, or how do you treat that excess, I suppose, capital?
Yes. So a few things. So obviously we focus on managing both the regulatory and investor ratios. I talked a bit about the nature of what the regulatory ratio is and why it moves, particularly in respect to closed funds. So if I focus more in the context of your question on the investor ratio, you're right, it is higher at year end and during stuff. We obviously don't have the same flexibility as others in terms of what we might do with that capital in terms of returning that to shareholders. And our approach to distributing the estate to members, our focus is on providing stability in that flow over time rather than sort of lumpy changes or otherwise. So it gives us a little bit less degree of flexibility. Equally, though, I would counsel a little bit of caution in that. As I said, our half-year results don't include any allowance for coupon on debt, and they don't allow any allowance for profit share, given that we do that once a year and we don't have a sort of an interim dividend process. So you will get a natural elevation in capital as you go through a half-year process. And also, given some of the movements that we've seen in the first half, I should just add, we haven't recalculated our transitionals in the first half of the year because we haven't hit the threshold at which we could do so. So I hope that gives you a bit of a flavour. That I think that number is potentially a little bit elevated. I also talked about the fact that we are looking to transfer two of the closed funds into the main fund in the second half of the year. I would expect that that will have a slightly downward impact on the ratio. So I'm not going to try and predict investment markets, but there's quite a lot of things that will impact that ratio in the second half of the year.
Okay, thank you.
And so far, we do not have any further questions. So everyone, just a kind reminder, if you wish to ask one, please press star then one on your device. Thank you. And we have one more question, which is coming from Cynthia Chung. Please go ahead. Your line is open now.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for giving me a chance to ask questions. Just a couple of questions. Could you give me your view on the latest Solvency II review in the UK? Because I know there's a bit of a regulatory difference in terms of what the industry is thinking on the matching adjustment, as well as what the regulator is thinking. So I just wanted to see what Royal London thinks about the latest changes. The consultation just closed last month, so just wanted to know what Royal London thinks. Secondly, could you just give me your update in terms of your implementation of IFRS 17 and IFRS 9? Do you think there will be any changes to your asset allocation as a result of IFRS 9? And how far are you with the implementation project? Thank you.
Thanks, Cynthia. And thank you for your questions. Why don't I take them in reverse order? I'll take the first one, and then I'll pass over to Anne, the Group Chief Actuary, to take the second on the Solvency II consultation. On the first one, I'm pleased to report that the answer is that we're not expecting any impact from IFRS 17 or IFRS 9. The impact of that is, or well, the reason for that is that we report on a UK GAAP basis, and therefore we have no requirement to implement IFRS 17, he says slightly gratefully. So that one I think is relatively easier. Anne, do you want to pick up Solvency II?
Thanks, Dan. I think we support the reform, and just to kind of give a bit more flavour, the reduction in risk margin is clearly sort of we support that, and I think that is the main impact for Royal London. There will be a dampening effect because of the Solvency II transitionals, so the 60-70% target for the risk margin will be dampened, but I think that will give us a small capital benefit, at least initially, which will grow over time. The matching adjustment reform will not be a particularly material impact for Royal London, given we've only just launched our annuity proposition. But we continue directly and through the ABI to feed into the consultation and look forward to further detail coming out in the second half of the year.
Thanks, Ed. Cynthia, does that answer your questions or anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you so much.
No problem at all. Thank you.
And we do not have any further questions.
Okay, well, in which case, I will just close, and if anybody wants to add any more questions, you've probably got the 10 seconds while I just say thank you again for everybody for joining, and thank you for Jake and Cynthia for the questions. I hope that was helpful and look forward to speaking to others in due course. And in the meantime, I hope people have a very enjoyable summer. Thank you.